What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod. A McScandal. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
The 70s had its fair share of controversies. Watergate, Vietnam, heavy metal, and a small plastic spoon given out with coffee at McDonald's. Yes, you heard me right. A delicate coffee spoon that circulated widely throughout the vast array of food chains was making politicians and advocates speak out in horror. Why? Because the spoon, while being used for coffee, was also a favorite tool for drug use, more specifically, cocaine and PCP. This episode is a bit of an ode to fast food's favorite drug receptacle, a scapegoat for the war on drugs, and an icon of 1970s rebellion. Today on Ghost Town, the rise and fall of the McSpoon. It all began so innocently. In the 70s, McDonald's gave away a small, off-white, 5-inch-long plastic spoon with its coffee, with a sharp, shovel-like spoon on one end and the golden arches on the other. It was kind of an afterthought in the many elements of McDonald's engineering and branding, a simple tool to stir cream and sugar into a hot McDonald's beverage. Certainly nothing more. But that quickly changed. After all, it was the 70s. The McSpoon, as it was colloquially called, began being used for a less than wholesome purpose. These dainty implements had effectively become drug paraphernalia, a sort of everyman's coke spoon, and were being used to measure and snort powdered cocaine and PCP. Once that broke through into the zeitgeist, it became a symbol against the war on drugs. But let me back up a couple of years. In 1971, Richard Nixon declared the drug epidemic public enemy number one, and an effort to stop drug distribution and reduce drug abuse in the United States was underway. But it didn't really work. Despite the creation of the Drug Enforcement Agency, drug use only spiked, with a whopping 11% of the adult population using it at the time, according to Mental Floss. And remember, these are just the people who reported their drug use. Not only was there a war on drugs, but there was a war on drug paraphernalia. Think rolling papers, pipes, coke spoons, etc. After all, it's harder to do drugs without the accessories. This led to a codified effort in this area, culminating in the DEA's Model Drug Paraphernalia Act of 1979. Now, what paraphernalia was within this act was a little vague and could include just about anything. Not long after this act was introduced, Congress held hearings exploring the sale of drug paraphernalia, with heated senators and activists espousing the dangers of all of it. At the time, one member of the Paraphernalia Trade Association, yes, it is a real association, and mostly represents smoke shop vendors, mocked the law's vague wording by showcasing the ubiquitousness of drug accoutrement by saying about the McSpoon, quote, "This is the best cocaine spoon in town, and it's free with every cup of coffee at McDonald's." Of course, lawmakers, activists, and McDonald's themselves did not like that. And they definitely didn't like what happened in October 1979, when a newspaper story in the Hartford Courant, I think I'm saying that right, a widely circulated Connecticut newspaper, went into detail about a fancy New York City loft party, where guests were greeted by a large brass bowl filled with cocaine and lined with 20 McDonald's spoons. Guests could take the spoon, partake, put the spoon down, and socialize. Oddly enough, the article is fairly chill about cocaine, though it does go into its risks, of course, but concludes by saying, quote, "If there's any illegal substance that's enjoyed good press over the years, it's cocaine." Joyce Nalepka, the former president of the National Federation of Parents for Drug-Free Youth, read the article and attended many of the hearings, believing the McSpoon was absolutely complicit in the drug issues that plagued the United States. Nalepka decided to take matters into her own hands and reached out to McDonald's then-president Edward Schmidt to see if he'd redesign the spoon for the purposes of wholesomeness and, of course, the children. Nalepka's words, not mine. Schmidt was initially reluctant. Replacing all coffee stirrers would be a giant pain in his ass, but he eventually did it. And soon the McSpoon was replaced by a flat coffee stirrer. That still left McDonald's with a surplus of McSpoons, so McDonald's rerouted them to restaurants in other countries, which didn't exactly solve the problem. In other countries, the McSpoon took on a new life as a measuring mechanism for heroin. McSpoons also turned up again domestically, don't worry, where dealers would sell bundles of them to customers with their cocaine purchases. To this day, McSpoons, long since replaced, are still popular in underground circles, selling on eBay for around $5 apiece. Now, in the early 2000s, Ken Courtney and Tobias Wong even created a gold-plated replica of the McDonald's spoon for a sculpture called Coke Spoon No. 2, a kind of nostalgia item detailing the spoon's history and perhaps reputation. It was featured at the San Francisco MoMA, and when McDonald's learned of the piece, they ordered the artist to cease and desist. For better or worse, yesterday and today, there have certainly been a lot of hurt and angry feelings over a small plastic 5-inch spoon.